I'm Frank Garza, and welcome to Here and Abroad, a podcast that follows the U.S. men's national team and their player pool across Europe, MLS, or wherever else they play their club football. On today's show, we're going to talk about Gio Reyna and how his loan move is going so far at Nottingham Forest. To help me with that, I've invited Sarah Clapson to join the show. Sarah is the Nottingham Forest correspondent for Nottinghamshire Live and the Nottingham Post. She has covered the Reds since 2015 and has followed the team up and down the country as well as abroad to report on the latest goings on. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm beginning my Monday. Hopefully you're kind of reaching the end of yours this evening.
Yeah, Mondays are always the tough days, but yeah.
They are, but they're great days to talk about Nottingham Forest and Gio Reyna. And I know it's only been there a couple weeks, played in two matches so far, both coming on as the second half substitute. But from what you've seen so far, what have you thought of his performance?
I think he's made a positive early impression. It's difficult to judge him because we haven't seen too much of him yet. He's only played a few minutes in both games. But when he's got on the pitch, he's looked really keen to get on the ball, really eager to get involved, really bright, really lively. Seems like he's got a good touch, looks like he wants to get involved and offer something going forward. So I think he's made a positive early impression. I'm sure he'll want more minutes and he'll want to really get involved. Maybe once he plays a bit more, we'll be able to judge better what he has to offer and how he fits into the team. But I think he's made a positive early impression.
Yeah, it's been good to get him. It was good to see him get a few more minutes, you know, this past weekend. And the broadcast I was watching here in the U.S., the announcer used the word tidy for his performance, which I thought was pretty good. I haven't seen him take a whole lot of chances. He seems to be kind of playing it maybe a little bit safe, you know, from my perspective. I haven't seen him really be super direct and drive at the goal, which I think is probably fairly normal when you're trying to get integrated into a new team. I mean, does that resonate with you at all? Have you thought it's been a conservative kind of approach from him so far?
Yeah, I think tidy probably sums it up quite well. It's been good without really catching the eye. Maybe because, like you say, coming into a new team, coming on as a substitute, you have to kind of feel your way into a little bit. And maybe you are really keen to catch the manager's eye, really keen and eager to get involved. And you just kind of hold back a little bit. You're at a team that's struggling at the bottom end of the Premier League as well, that is really fighting for results, really desperately needs points. And maybe that plays on his mind a little bit as well. Forest are trying to be attacking. They do want to go out and win games. So I think going forward, he just needs to play with a bit more freedom, I think. And that's what the manager wants. He wants players to go out there and show what they can do, show what they're about and utilize all their skills and their talent. So I'm sure that's what he'll be telling him behind the scenes as well, that he just has to go out there, be himself and really go for it in games, which is what Forest as a team are trying to do. So that's the approach. It's just maybe new team, new surroundings, new club. It just takes a little bit of time to find your feet a little bit. And particularly when you're coming on as a substitute, it's not easy to go out there and really get stuck into a game and pick it up and kind of make your mark in it. So I do have a little bit of sympathy for him, but I think he has shown enough in the two appearances so far to suggest that he's got something about him. It's just getting him going, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to seeing, is when he kind of gets it more going, has a little bit more confidence and is a little bit more aggressive. Let's take a step back and maybe go to the kind of the beginning of when this loan deal was kind of transpiring, when you heard about it. You know, when you heard about this deal kind of going through, what were your initial thoughts and why do you think Forest wanted to bring him into the club?
I think Forest needed to sign attacking players. It's where they were short of options at the top end of the pitch. So they wanted players who were versatile, who can play in a few different positions, which is what Gio Reyna fits into. They want players who can score goals, who can create chances, who can offer something perhaps different to what they already have. So again, I think he kind of fits that profile as well. He's a young player who has a lot of potential, who has shown what he's capable of before earlier in his career, but has the best years kind of ahead of him still. So I think there was an excitement in that sense that he's somebody who potentially can make a difference. It's just whether he gets to that point, I guess. earlier in your career, you can show flashes of potential and show what you're about, but it's living up to it and proving yourself and doing it on a consistent basis. So I think there was, it's an area that Forrest needed. He's the kind of player that fitted into what they wanted. It's just now getting him to perform to his maximum level and really making an impact in the team, really cementing his, try to cement his place in the starting 11, which is going to be difficult. But yeah, having that competition is so important because Forrest didn't have a lot of that.
Yeah, let's talk about that you know, that starting 11. I kind of want to get your thoughts on where you see him fitting into the team. I mean, it doesn't, with the, I guess, three forwards they usually play out there, it doesn't look like it's going to be easy for him to jump in there. But how do you see him fitting in the team? And can you talk about who are those players, you know, he's competing with for minutes?
Yeah, so I think he himself probably sees himself as a number 10. And at that role at the minute, Morgan Gibbs-White is the first name on the team sheet. He's arguably Forrest's most important player. He's so crucial to the way that they play. So for Gio Reyna, trying to get in front of Morgan Gibbs-White is going to be difficult. But it is an area where Forrest needed backup and competition. So Morgan Gibbs-White has missed a couple of games recently because of injury. If anything, touch wood, Forrest will be hoping it doesn't. But if anything does happen to him again in other games, or he needs a bit of a rest, or they need to mix things up a bit, they needed competition for him. So I think that's one area that Gio Reyna can play in. But also, he's able to play out wide. Forrest have Anthony Elanga, Callum Hudson-Odoi, really as their only two wingers. So they needed backup there as well. So again, that versatility and flexibility that Gio Reyna offers is really important. I think initially, at least, if he's going to try to work his way into the starting 11, it's going to be one of those two wide positions that's going to be his best route to getting there. And I think he can do that. Anthony Elanga has made a massive difference since he came in the summer. Callum Hudson-Odoi has maybe taken a little bit of a while to get going. He's lacked a bit of belief. Perhaps similar in that earlier on in his career, he was seen as somebody with huge amount of potential. Somebody who was, you know, touted for big money moves not that long ago. Career struggled a little bit with injury since then. So he's trying to pick it back up and trying to get back to know what he's capable of. So I think between those two, between Callum Hudson-Odoi and Anthony Elanga, there's the opportunity for Gio Reyna to really push for a starting spot if he can make a big impact, if he can really make an impression and make things happen when he gets his opportunity. Because that's what it's all about, taking your chance when you get it on the pitch and showing the manager, hey, look, I want to start the next game. I want to be in the 11 for the next game. He's got his work cut out to do it, but he's somebody that, again, has shown earlier in his career that he has got bags of talent, bags of quality. It's just proving it on a pitch.
Yeah, and I think if I'm not wrong, didn't Hudson-Odoi and Anthony Elanga score in the most recent game, or they've had a couple goals in the last couple matches since Gio's arrived?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so that they probably thought, oh, hang on a minute, somebody else has come in now, so we really need to step up. I guess that's always what happens when you get new signings in. You think, oh, hang on, my place probably isn't as secure as what it was, so I need to up my game a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think I've heard Gio say in an interview his preferred spot is playing that, you know, number 10 role that Morgan Gibbs-White is playing right now. I mean, do you think... Does Gibbs-White have such a strong hold on that, you know, outside of injury, outside of just, you know, absolute poor run of games, that Gio kind of breaking into that starting role, is that just a little bit too much to ask for us American fans?
Oh, I think it's going to be a big ask. It's difficult to... Morgan Gibbs-White is so crucial. He's absolutely pivotal to the way that Forrest play. He's probably the first name on the team sheet when he's fit and available. Again, it doesn't always happen that you're fit and available for every single game between now and the end of the season. Forrest have to cover all eventualities, but Morgan Gibbs-White has proven himself. He's the last season and a half, he's just been really, really pivotal to the way that Forrest play. Even with the change of manager, he's still integral. He's at the heart of all their attacking threat. He's added goals to his game this season, and he's somebody that has huge talent, and he has shown it in a Forest shirt. So he kind of has that little bit of an edge over Gio Reyna at the minute. And I think unseating him from the starting lineup is going to be difficult. But again, it's a challenge. It's something that that Gio Reyna has to take on board, I guess, and try to do his best to give Gibbs White a run for his money.
Yeah, and that's good for the team as well. The more, like you said, the competition, the more guys you have, you know, pushing for starting minutes there. That's gonna help everybody. Can you talk to me a little bit about the kind of the tactics that Forest usually play formation? I mean, do they usually play this 4-2-3-1? Is that pretty typical, or you know, how should we expect them to play game in and game out?
Yeah, so that's generally how they've played under Nuno Espirito Santo since he's come in. It seems to be his favoured formation. They have tweaked it a little bit. They have shown they can play with a three at the back and wing backs before, or as a 4-3-3, but I think generally that's his favoured formation. And again, going back to Morgan Gibbs-White, I think a lot of it revolves around that because he has thrived going into that number 10 role. Under the previous manager, he was playing out wide, he was playing in a 4-3-3, and Forrest really weren't seeing the best of him. So Nuno has come in, tweaked the formation, tweaked the shape, and gone, well, Morgan's our most important player, so we're going to build the team around what works for him. And that then gets the best out of the rest of his teammates. So I think going forward, that's the system that Forrest are going to use. I think it's one that probably suits Gio Reyna as well, because of what he offers and how he sees himself, whether it's as a wide man or whether it's in that number 10 role. Forrest generally, they have been a real threat on the counter-attack. That seems to be they're trying to utilise strengths in the team, such as Anthony Elanga, Callum Hudson-Odoi, who are so, so quick that they can catch teams in that way. They do try to get on the front foot. Nuno is really about going out there, trying to express themselves, trying to play to win. But I think that counter-attacking tactic is one that they really try to utilise because they do have pace in the side. And again, I think Gio Reyna probably fits into that as well. It's a system that suits a lot of players in the team and tries to get the best out of them. It just needs to follow that results and performances improve a little bit, I guess, because at the minute it's a little bit hairy down there at the bottom end of the Premier League table.
Yeah, a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is.
Right now.
Mm.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you about was, Gio, a lot of U.S. fans are a big fan of him and see him as possibly the player on our entire roster with the highest ceiling. Like we've talked about, he hasn't necessarily lived up to that, but there's this excitement about him. And I shouldn't say he hasn't lived up to it in a real disappointing way. It's just that we talk about his potential, so much, and a lot of people are big fans of him because of the stuff they've seen from him, on the field. But he got a lot of attention off the field in the past year during the World Cup, the aftermath with the whole controversy around him, his family, and Greg Berhalter. And one of the things I wondered about as he was pursuing a move away from Dortmund was how other clubs looked at that, whether that mattered to them, whether that kind of was a red flag in any way. Did you hear anything about that as Forrest was evaluating the loan move for him?
I think it probably came into conversation a little bit. It's maybe something that it didn't dominate his move. I think it was, people are aware of it because obviously it was something that was in the headlines and obviously it happened. But I think the hope is that for any player going to a new club, it's a clean slate, it's a fresh start. Anything that's gone before, you try to put behind you. He's a young player. I think probably there's a little bit of leeway when it comes to that you always get young players make mistakes on and off the field. The key is whether they learn from them and whether they, how they evolve going forward. Forest generally do their due diligence on new signings. I guess around deadline day when it's getting a bit a bit hit and miss and a bit hairy trying to get players in, maybe that gets affected a little bit. But they'll have looked into what Gio Reyna's about. They'll have looked into his personality, into what he offers on and off the pitch. Because Nuno wants to have a really tight-knit, small squad. That was something he was really clear about when he came in. The squad was too big. Forest had far too many players for his liking. He wanted it slimmed down. When you have a slimmed down squad, you have to make sure you have the right characters in there, the right personalities, particularly the right personalities that are going to help if you're in a relegation fight. So they'll have looked at that and they'll have looked into what Gio Reyna's done before, on and off the pitch, what he's like, what he's capable of. And I can't remember it being too much of a concern among fans. I think it was more about what he had to offer in terms of his talent and his potential.
Has he, I mean, I know you are in and around the team, you know, quite a bit, attend the press conferences and all that. Does anybody ask him about that sort of thing? Has he had to talk about it?
Gio?
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't actually had a chance to speak to him yet, unfortunately. Hopefully we do soon. I'm sure once we do, it'll be a subject that perhaps comes up. I haven't seen it mentioned anywhere, and it's something that Nuno hasn't been asked about, the manager. So I think it's perhaps one that will be addressed at some point, but it hasn't cropped up at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of, I mean, even over here, there's been a lot of time kind of between when it happened and now. He's been back in the national team with the coach. Everything's been going fine. So while it was a hot topic for the longest time, it's kind of dissipated, you know, pretty quickly, I'd say. But I think I've just been curious if it, you know, follows him around, you know, to other clubs. And it sounds like, you know, so far it hasn't.
Yeah, no, it's not something that has been brought up so far. And I haven't heard too many fans discuss it either. So hopefully it's, again, a clean start for him and he's put all of that behind him.
Yeah. So I mentioned that, you know, a lot of US fans really like Gio. I think a lot of US fans watch the Premier League, are familiar with Nottingham Forest, but maybe not to the level, maybe they haven't watched him as closely as they're going to, you know, in these next couple months. And so for fans that maybe don't know a whole lot about the club, I mean, what's something that you think US fans should know about the club or would enjoy, you know, hearing about it?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I guess that the main point is that Forest are in their second season back in the Premier League. It took them more than 20 years to get back there. So that, it's a long time since they've been in the top flight of English football. They managed to stay there last season, which was a huge deal. The challenge, again, is to do it this season. And it is proving difficult. They've got a potential points deduction hanging over them because of financial fair play rules. So that's something that is a big talking point at the moment and adds a little bit of nervous tension because of the situation at the bottom end of the table. But yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting end to the season. There's always twists and turns and ups and downs. And that was the case last year when Forest managed to stay in the Premier League. I'm sure it'll be the same again because very rarely do you get a season where it's just one long upward curve when you're fighting for your Premier League status like this. So it's going to be an interesting one. I'm sure fans watching it all have plenty of drama to get stuck into and plenty of ups and downs and highs and lows. And yeah, it's never boring, that's for sure, following any team in any club in English football and particularly the Premier League, because it's so intense. The games are certainly difficult to predict a lot of the time because anybody can beat anybody. It's such a cliche. I feel bad for saying it, but it's true. Any team can go out there and beat any other team in the Premier League. So you get games that are really difficult to predict.
Yeah, those relegation battles can almost be more dramatic than the top of the table fight to win the league, it seems sometimes. So yeah that's gonna
absolutely
be, hopefully they can get a little bit more space so they won't have the drama those last couple of weeks. But it's gonna be I don't know if fun to watch is the right word, but it's gonna be kind of intense to watch that unfold.
Yeah, nail biting, I think, is
Yeah, nail biting. Yeah, that's the term I was looking for there. Well, thank you, Sarah, for joining the show. I'll make sure and put links in the show notes to your X account, which is at Sarah_Clapson, and also to your work at Nottinghamshire Live and the Nottingham Post.
Thank you.
But before I let you go, anything else you'd like to share about GeoForest or anything at all?
I'm looking forward to seeing what Geo has to bring and what he has to offer, because he seems like a really exciting player as well. I guess I can't go without mentioning Matt Turner, another US international. Unfortunately, seems to have lost his place at the minute because Forest brought in another goalkeeper in January. He did well in the FA Cup game the other day, Matt Turner, when he got his opportunity again. He's a great guy, I have to say. We've spoken to him and he's absolutely brilliant. It's a shame perhaps that he didn't quite have the start to the season that he wanted. Again, as far as goalkeepers go, though, he's still fairly young, and he just has a few areas of his game to work on, I think. But I'm sure we'll see him perhaps in the cup game coming up against Manchester United as well. But yeah, I think he's somebody that Forest brought in last summer with a view to being the number one goalkeeper. It hasn't quite worked out how he wanted, but he seems like a proper professional who takes it on the chin, took it in the right way, tried to respond by showing what he could do in the FA Cup game, was really key in the penalty shootout, saved a good penalty. So I think he has taken it how you would want any goalkeeper to take losing their place, which is real credit to him. He's a great character and he's shown a lot of resolve and resilience.
Yeah. I saw an interview with him just a few days before that FA Cup match, and yeah, his attitude was spot on, professional, upbeat, not giving up, you know, and yep, saying, hey, I've faced adversity before, and this is another opportunity to do it. And you can't help but cheer for the guy. I mean, I agree with kind of your sentiment about him just being a great guy and just such a consummate professional.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope that he goes away, improves his game, gets better, and really responds in the way that you'd want somebody to. He's just such a great character, and his attitude is just top draw. So hopefully he'll come back and respond and come back an improved player.
Yeah, we'll see. And I'm definitely hoping to see him get that FA Cup start, but we'll see. We'll be keeping an eye on Matt and Gio and the rest of the club. And Sarah, just thank you again so much for joining the show today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Here and Abroad. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with a fellow USMNT fan. I'm Frank Garza. You can follow me on X at Frank Garza 007, and I'll be back next week with a new episode.